I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra.
And this week on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, did you know that there is an app for orgasms?
Tell me more, Hillary.
We found this amazing project between some students at the University of Montreal and the National Film Board of Canada, and it's all about the clit.
And it has the greatest name for a game ever, simply called Clit Me. Hillary and I may actually break a world record for the number of times we use the word clitoris or clit.
Yes, we're going to have Mo, part of the team that developed the app, talk with us in just a little bit.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
I think we need to have a conversation about dirty talk.
Yes, we do, Hillary.
Never really broached on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, which seems ridiculous because it's basically what we're all about.
I feel like we could actually power an entire podcast on this subject, but let's start with baby steps, shall we?
Baby steps, because you have to when it's dirty talk. Do you find it as awkward to work dirty talk into your sex life as I do?
Yes, because it's something gradual, and I feel like dirty talk is it's a very black and white issue. You're either all in or you're all out. You know
is
what
it?
I mean? And dirty talk, yeah, I feel like dirty talk, if done improperly, can be a complete turnoff. Like
you
gotta know
goes,
how to do it.
Just make love to me.
Yeah, I'm out. Get off me. Get off me. If
but
you say we're going to make love, I can't do that.
Some people, that is dirty talk because everybody has their level of comfort along the way. So one thing that I am guilty of is being shy off the get-go in a new relationship. Like when I met my boyfriend and we waited a really long time to start the sex life part of our relationship. And by that point, I already liked him too much to take a risk. And I think that's where things went wrong.
Were you afraid that you'd like have him in a passionate moment and then you would just say something completely off-putting?
Well, something that he wasn't into. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. Like you have to. You're right. I don't know if you can just like open with dirty talk.
Right?
Like it's a gradual thing. You got to figure out what your partner likes.
Right. But how do you do that without totally embarrassing yourself? Because, some people are like mutes in bed. Not naming any names.
No names on my end either, Hillary. Let's just say one of us is very vocal and the other one doesn't, not a peep. Not
right.
A peep.
But it's sort of like, I think that talking in bed sort of transfers to real life. Like in my relationship, I do all the talking. In fact, I never shut up.
So it's you're only being true to yourself in the sack, right?
Right. But I'm also aware that in real life, I always take things a little too far and I'm not all that sensitive or politically correct.
So where are you going with this, Hills? Is dirty talk working in it? Okay, I know that it's sensitive and you just don't want to
like,
get too
specific. I don't
want to
give away all my secrets,
no,
my
of course
moves.
Not. But you have some dirty talk moves. Like, do you have
right.
an A game that you roll out?
Not really. I'm more of a moaner.
Is that dirty talk?
I don't know. It's vocal.
It's part of it. Right. Okay.
Right.
The sounds are part of it.
Well, the thing is, like, I love my guy so much, but he is, I can't even tell him he's sexy without him going, shh. Maybe he's just so concerned that I'll have, like, the best dirty talk of all and he won't be able to contain himself.
I know many men, and that you're onto something there, because I know a lot of guys who, of course, we all have inappropriate conversations, have
what?
Said, yeah, oh yeah, all the time. So they will tell me, like, as soon as a girl pulls that dirty talk, they're done. Like, that's just like, yes! So maybe that he's just trying to, you know,
right.
prolong what he just, if he you pull it out, the A game
what
too
are we
fast.
Doing, huh?
Oh my God, this is so bad what I'm saying. So if you do the A game too quickly, that he's just
right.
he's going to finish too quickly.
So like what? Do I put in headphones and listen to other people's dirty talk?
Don't guys do that? They think about sports?
Right. So you just have the internal conversation. Like when I'm really hard on myself and I like break down my self-confidence, I'll do that. But with like dirty talk.
For me, dirty talk is like, that is my time. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And that's my finish. You got to say it to me for me to finish.
Right.
Because you touching me isn't going to do it anymore.
Oh, gosh. But don't you worry. Like, the thing is, it's not something we've really gotten into. And I'm always worried I'm going to say the wrong thing and shut it right down. And that the opinion of me will go down the toilet with it. Like, wow, you like that? Like,
What's wrong with you?
Have we learned nothing on this podcast, Hillary? Communicating is the most important part. You can't not say what you like. You can't hold back. Like, if you want to be a freak in the sheets, girl, be a freak in the sheets. Do it.
But you have to find someone who also wants to freak with you.
Well, that's also part of it. As somebody who's been married for 100 years, I will say that my husband has literally, and you know, you've got to have a thick skin, so to speak, because he makes faces at me when I say the wrong thing. It'll be like, and he looks like legit annoyed. It's like, shut your mouth, woman. I'm trying to do this.
So no different from when you're not in the sack.
Exactly. Just stop talking. He's rolled his eyes at me in bed. He's scowled like, shut up. And I'm just like doing it so much. Oh, my God. I feel like I've said too much. This is too bad. Oh, my God. God, my kids are listening to this.
All right. Well, we're going to learn some stuff today on the podcast that's going to help with the other side of the sack. So Sandra and I have discovered this amazing little app. It was a joint effort between the National Film Board and some students out of Montreal of different sorts who have been working to make this app to help with the orgasm gap.
The app is called Clit Me, also the greatest name for a game I've ever heard of. And you can just imagine, like, the fact that the NFB is part of this is awesome. And those students probably had the greatest time of their lives making this app, which is essentially an interactive game of a clit avatar that you rub and you play with and you basically get off. And in the process, there are some little educational tidbits about the clitoris along the way. And it's awesome.
Right. It's like a clit Tamagotchi. You got to keep it alive.
You got to keep it alive.
You got to feed it. You got to touch it and pet it.
Yep.
And it teaches you all sorts of stuff. So you open this game, and it's got these cute little arrows and some cute music, and it reminds you right off the bat to remember that consent is a prerequisite for fun times in the sack.
Perfect way to start.
Right. And then you get to the little avatar. It's super cute. It's like a cartoon, and quite honestly, I didn't even know a clitoris was this shape.
I had no idea. I didn't know. I thought that was just, at first I thought, well, maybe it's the tip of it is what they're talking about and the rest are the roots.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
So I think it is. It's got like really long arms and long legs. And I think those nerves wrap around your hoo-ha.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, you don't think of a clit being that big and that shape, but you're right. So that right on the get-go, it's educational. It's like, I did not know that.
Right. And then it goes through these little ideas of different ways you can rub it. So it starts with rubbing it down in little swipes, and then you make circles. Those are nice. And then you tap it, and it makes these cute little giggles. Oh, so cute.
Mine didn't giggle every time I tapped it. Mine was in distress because I was aggressively trying to get there.
Why won't you come off?
Come on. Let's do it. And you know what I also loved is that the color in the background changes. So
right?
as you're sort of getting there, the expression of your clit is sort of helping you along. But then the color tells you you're getting there. You're getting there. So then you start, your little finger starts to like work it even harder to get to where you want to go.
Did you feel weird? Playing with this little app because it's so cute.
Last night, that's like I went into my bed and I just opened the app and I just sat there laughing my head off playing with my little clit. And it was
very relaxing.
But I was invested. Like I was invested in getting it off. Really.
You need some more stuff in your life. Maybe
I'm competitive. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't want to let my clit down. I don't know what it is.
There's some really great facts about the orgasm gap, which I don't think a lot of people realize. Well, I'm sure you do because you've had sex with your partner if you're a female and you probably don't get off every time. Let's be honest.
But it also, the orgasm gap is really about when you, it exists in most relationships, I think, but at the start of a relationship, it's especially concerning because it's like 62% of women are getting off and 85% of men. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's not fair. I demand a recount.
This whole podcast is like, oh, that's not fair. We deserve it too.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the orgasm gap and what it means and what it means for a modern woman in 2019.
Huh. Well, how old were you when you started to learn what you like?
Oh, hey now.
I'm just curious.
No, it's a fair question. I have to, I don't know how old I was, but I remember reading a Judy Blume book, and I can't remember what it was called, but in that book, she talks, there's a description of, I think it was the book Forever. And
okay.
It was scandalous at the time. And it was a story about young love and the first time they had sex. And in the book, the girl like learns about orgasms and getting off and sexual pleasure. And that was the first time I even heard about that. Like I didn't even know.
Because just never been a priority. I think like our sex ed's probably somewhat similar. Don't get pregnant. Don't get a disease.
That's right.
Don't be
that's
a dirty
exactly
girl.
Right. My mom handed me a book when I was. That's right. That's right. Don't be a slut. That's what they taught us as young girls, didn't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty much it. And my mom handed me a book, and it was on sex ed, and there was nothing about it was about female pleasure. So I read that Judy Blume book. I picked up on what she was doing. So I must have been about 12 or 13 when I finally discovered orgasms.
Right.
And but it was
like,
a long.
Did you discover them? Or
yeah, I did. Yeah, I had a good time. And I had a great time. And then I was in my, oh God, I was like 21 the first time I had one with a guy. It was, he wasn't my first, but it was a while before I got there with a guy, a long while. So this orgasm gap is real, but a lot of it has to do with just not education. Like guys, they don't care about when you're a teenage guy. Do you really care about getting her off?
But nobody taught them that that was a thing either. Because if
That's
they're
right.
not teaching us and we have the body and we don't learn it's a thing, how can we expect a guy to know that it's a thing?
That's fair. So what about you? When did you first discover the big O?
Wow. I don't think I got there for a while, but I can remember like being in my teens and doing a little exploring and being like, that feels funny and kind of like I have to pee. But
I think I'll keep going.
Right.
I'm going to see this through and see what happens.
But I think I must have been into my 20s.
Before you had one alone or had one with a partner?
Either.
Wow.
Like, it just wasn't a thing.
But what about education? Did you know when did you know what it was?
God, it must have been in my 20s and it was probably on the internet. Like ICQ? No.
So you really didn't even know about female orgasms until...
No, not at all. Like, I lived a pretty sheltered life. Like, my sex talk was, it's, you know how babies are made? Yep. Don't mess your life up. I'm not fixing it. Okay. Gotcha.
So pretty much like everybody else's.
Right. So I it was much later, for sure. I mean, to be honest, I was a late bloomer. I didn't have my first partner till I was nearly 20 anyway.
Same. I was very late, too. I consider myself to be a late bloomer. But yeah, I was like a one woman party for a long time.
Good for you.
Well, why not? Right. And I don't want to get into all of the business about my first time and everything. I feel like there's a podcast in that.
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of want to do a podcast where we do a round table and talk about our first time.
That would be hilarious. Mine was a disaster.
Mine was, I was on the clock because I was meeting a girlfriend after.
Classic. Classic.
So, but it all leads us to this whole orgasm gap. This week's guest has been involved in a clit me. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast today, Maude Fraser.
Yay! Hi, girls.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Maude, where are you right now? Just so people know that you're not in studio with us.
I'm in Toronto, which is my new home for the next couple weeks. And then, I'll be heading back to Montreal later that month. But right now I'm living in Toronto.
Cool. So you are spreading the good word about the clitoris in Toronto?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So, Maude, how did this project start?
So So yeah, it was an internship. So it's a collaboration between the NFB, the National Film Board, and Université du Québec à Montréal. And so we were 8 students from a different background. So we were 3 from journalistic background. There was one from a TV background that was here to lead the project. Bri and Catherine, who were in the graphic design, and there were 2 people from interactive media.
So what you're saying is that the clitoris brought you all together.
Yeah, but in the first day of this internship, we all had to come up with an idea. And one of the girls, Leah, from a journalistic background as well, she came up with that idea about women's sexual health, which is a very broad subject. And by the end of the day, we kind of focused on the fact that that women's sexual satisfaction was actually a part of women's sexual health. Because when we are talked about women's sexual health, it's usually about the fact of not having babies.
Right.
You know, or knowing your menstrual cycle and having safe sex. But there's nobody really talks to us about the fact that it's supposed to be fun as well. And yeah. So
and it's supposed to feel good, yeah.
So that obviously led you to learn more about something called the orgasm gap. What is the orgasm gap?
So people in studies showed that if you ask men, heterosexual men, if they had orgasm in their last sexual relation, 85% of men recall having one, and only 62 women do. 62 heterosexual women. And if you ask lesbians, they have 75% of them say they had orgasm. So, and even other studies show a wider gap, something 95% of men having orgasm and only 65% of women having orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's this disparity between how men enjoy their sex life and how women does. And we think that it's probably because...
Let's be honest, men have no idea how to touch us.
Yeah, kind of.
See, I would like to know how many men even know there's a clit. Because I bet you the number is way higher than we think.
And yeah, and the heterosexual sex life is still kind of centered about the male organs and the penetration. And while others research found that only 25% of women were having orgasm while being penetrated, and that only 11% of them, no, it's 18% of them report that vaginal penetration was alone, only vaginal penetration alone during intercourse was sufficient for our orgasm. And so, yeah, we see that there's maybe the way we think about sexuality, heterosexual intercourse, is not really making women enjoy it. And other studies, one was conducted by Oh My God Yes, I don't know if you heard of that website. It's actually amazing. It's
all right. You've got my attention.
Yes. It's it's a web platform. They actually won an award, I think, 2 years back, because it's really impressive. They were also the first one who conduct a study with American women about just the actual way the woman liked to be touched. So they just asked them, if you're stimulating your clitoris, what do you like? Do you like circle rotation? Do you like to one side more than another side, or stuff like that? And it was the first time it was asked in a scientific research. And they did this whole platform, which is kind of giving class to people who go on the website. because it is showing, they are like women showing what they like.
It's very really specific. I'm only shocked that you're telling me that this only started 2 years ago, that they really started to scientifically understand how to give a woman an orgasm.
I think the study was conducted like a bit before that. I don't have the
right,
date
but fairly recent though.
But yeah, I think that website was up two or 3 years ago. And it was amazing because we actually got inspired by those research for the movements we put on our app. But our app is really, our game isn't like so graphic as Oh My God Yes is. If you go on it, it's really straightforward. And at the end of each chapter, you have like a vulva on your phone or on your
I'm looking at it now, and when you first go to the site clitme.nfb.ca, that's the English version, click on the little arrow and you move forward, and it reminds you about consent and how important that is, and then you move forward and you have a picture of a clitoris. And it's not just what you see on the outside of the body, it's what's underneath as well, right?
Yes, because if you ask like people about clitoris, they often think about, you see, like the little button, the kind of, like the mouse we used to have on old Blackberries. And this is how people think about the clitoris. And this is only the part we see, because it actually goes inside, and it could be like up to like 11 centimeter. And the first 3D representation of it was only made in 2015, which is like not really far ago. And we learned that the part that we see is actually the gland, the head, and there are roots inside that are called the crust and the bulbous vestibule. And those parts are kind of like molding the entrance of the vagina. And
they're like, give it a little hug. They wrap around.
They do. But, you know, I have to say, though, when you first get on it, my favorite last night was when I was replaying the game, is that you get to customize your clitoris, and that you can put a face on it. You can put a hat on it. You can put hair on it. The fact that this clitoral avatar is totally you.
It's so cute.
It is. I gave mine a happy face. I want you to know, and nice eyelashes.
and the little beanie hat. We wanted to like create a kind of a cared relationship, and we wanted to, and this part is a way to say that that every clitoris is different, and that every sexuality is different, and like some women don't even have a clitoris. Like, we just wanted to like create something the person could relate to while learning about the clitoris. And we wanted to create this intimate like relationship between the user and his avatar.
Because how Sandra might like to be touched could be different from the way I like to be touched or you like to be touched.
Yeah, and also there's no like secret recipe. It's not like, you see, because we tend to be like in kind of a middle of those two different conceptions, one being like, woman orgasm is just like a myth. It's a mythical creature that only happens if like all the stars are aligned in a certain way. It's not.
That's because really most men don't know how to achieve it. They've never actually seen it.
Yeah, but like...
they haven't. And, you know, and I just wonder, the first thing I thought of when I saw this game is, why don't you put this game in the hands of every 16-year-old boy so they get a good understanding, or girl for that matter, everybody should have this game. And just to learn about female sexual satisfaction, like, why isn't this taught in sex ed? Because I don't remember learning about this stuff.
I don't remember learning anything, and it's not fair because guys' organs, sexual organs, it's pretty self-explanatory what you do with it. It's got, like, visually, it's very clear what's supposed to be done, right? But it's not the same for women.
No, and it there has been, like, a taboo about it, and about, like, the fact that it's supposed to be fun, and, like, the clitoris was... like erased and then like misunderstood so much, and we think that It's actually a fact. Science proved that women who are more aware of their own sexuality, like know more about, have like a better sex life.
Absolutely.
And taking control of your sexuality is important. And I wonder if that's one of the reasons why there is an orgasm gap when couples first have sex. Is it because, A, the guy isn't interested in pleasing the woman, or is part of it that a woman isn't taking control of her own sexuality, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I wouldn't really know about that. Like, but I think it's like kind of the boat of it, because communication is like the it's super important in like having a nice sexual relation. And if you don't really know what you enjoy yourself and like how do you like things to be, how can you communicate it to someone else? And but also there's like this conception of heterosexual like relationship that is really based around like the penis and the male organs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a bit of both.
Well, because it's easy to deal with the guy's stuff, but it's it's invisible, right? You have physical cues with a guy that you wouldn't necessarily have with female genitalia.
Yes and no, because it's true that like most part of the clitoris is inside, so you can't really see it. But like, there's still a part that is outside that has like the head of the clitoris is actually like, I think it's 8,000 like terminal ending.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
that's a nice word. Yeah,
that's and impressive.
And the only purpose of that organ is sexual pleasure. It's the only organ in like the body, the human body, that its only purpose is sexual pleasure.
How did you come up with the cute little voices that go with the little clitoris?
In fact, because the 3D representation, if you look at it and you think about it, there's like an head, there are like two cross and two bulb, and if you look at it, it does have like kind of a humanoid form. And for us, it was really easy to create like our little character, our little creature that we put on the game. And so the clitoris itself, the avatar you're playing with, is actually made of Play-Doh and animated with stop motion. And it's kind of like, the whole aesthetic is kind of out there. It's a bit off, but yeah, it's kind of weird. And so we wanted to create like a universe that would take you somewhere else that isn't like something super like in your face. This is a clitoris, and like this is going into like a body part we don't like to see too much in your face, or like some people.
So you're aware that some parents or kids might be uncomfortable with the fact that it's very sort of clinical and out there and sexual. So you made it cute and cuddly and made it have a really adorable voice.
It wasn't because we were like afraid that people will like be afraid of like seeing a vulva. It was just like for us, during the first day we had like one inspiration that was we just thought about it, and it was the Tamagotchi game. I don't know if you remember that one.
Tamagotchi.
It was super big during the 90s, and it was just like a small plastic eggs that you would like take in your hands, and it would ask like for care, and we wanted to create the same kind of relationship. So we wanted like the clitoris to be cute and like charming and like just being like this adorable creature. So
which it is.
Thanks. And we didn't want it to like talk to you in like, I don't know, a language you could learn. It's like it would be like kind of weird having this small creature talking to you in in French or in English. So we thought about like make him talk in gibberish. So
right. I have to say that when I started playing the game, the first thing you have to do after you customize your clitoris is that you caress it. And as you caress it, you just move through different steps to please your clitoris. But there's one that's tapping. So you caress it, you rub it, there's circular motions, and there's one where you tap it. My clitoris looked terrified. Like its eyes started to get wide and I legit thought it was scared.
My poor little baby.
And I'm just like, I'm going to back it off a little bit. Sorry, little guy. And
Why is it a guy?
I don't know. You're right. It's a little girl. That's even weird, too. Sorry, this is getting weird. But its eyes looked actually terrified, which I thought I was playing with my clit wrong. Is that on purpose that the eyes look scared or is it happy? I can't tell.
There are some moves that unplease it hit because if you touch right in his face, it doesn't like it at all.
Okay, so I was doing it wrong.
Yeah,
my clit was not liking the tapping. I was like aggressively tapping the screen, trying to just get it off, and I just couldn't. It didn't like it.
Sandra, did you just say get it off?
That's right. Because at the very end, there's a big explosive orgasm that looks like it just exploded and blood and guts are everywhere. It's really hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was so fun, but I didn't get it. Like I was like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to back off a little bit. And then I had to sweet talk it and get it back to where I needed it to be, just like a real clit.
Right.
Yeah.
Maud, why do you think we don't learn about how to pleasure ourselves as females? Is it because why do you think that happens in school? Like everybody knows how to please a guy. Why is it such a mystery?
I think it has something to do with the taboo around it. And like, I could get like super feminist and out there on that matter. But I mean, like there's different conception like of, I think for a long time, for a too long time, sexual, and I'm talking on my behalf on that particular answer, I must say, for like a long time, and like heterosexual relationship were centered about like the practical part of it, so like having babies, and not really about the fact that it could be pleaseful for women and men as well, and because it is kind of like de facto pleasing for men, nobody really cared about how it was for a woman or not.
Yeah. I find it kind of interesting that one would assume that it's our basis in religion and Christianity where, you know, baby making, that's what sex was for. But if no matter what you believe in, if whatever you believe created human beings, if they gave us an organ that was purely meant to be pleasurable, aren't we supposed to know how to use it?
I actually read a thing. It was in Lily Boisvert's book. I think she was saying that she was quoting someone that this part could actually be like kind of important to the mating process. So like being some kind of a natural selection things, so women like men would be able to like stimulate, like excite well a woman by using her clitoris could be like a nice potential mate for having baby and like proceeding to penetration.
So you think that the ones that don't know how to touch us right weren't genetically designed to be with us?
Maybe this is
that's
like,
really interesting.
It was kind of interesting, but like, I mean, if you think about it, it's like how preliminary. How do you say that in English? Actually,
like pheromones, like or
no, like the first part of like having a sex relationship where there's
foreplay?
No penetration. Yeah.
Foreplay.
Foreplay would be like, you know, if foreplay isn't nice, you don't want to pursue it. Pursue like the
right.
sexual relation. So it kind of makes sense.
If in a perfect world, Maude, who would be playing this game?
Everyone.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know, but like, are you because you worked in conjunction with the National Film Board, which is so awesome. How are you getting the word out? Like, are you sending this game to school boards and seeing if they're willing to, you know, put
yeah.
this game on the students' phones?
This is something. Okay, so our first target was really like 20-something women, because we were actually a team composed of like 7 women and 1 guy. And in the whole process, we were like, are you still okay with like talking about clitoris in our project? And he was like, yeah, I'm totally in. And
he's so a popular guy now.
Yeah.
He is. And so, yeah, our first target was like us. Like people who kind of are like 20-something women, because the way we talked about sexuality, because we thought that it was like a nice part of like your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you don't know anything and you're like discovering anything. It's more like, oh, you kind of know stuff, but you still have like things to discover. So we thought it was a great part. And it's not like, oh, you already have baby and maybe your sex life isn't really the same as a 20-year-old. But at the same time, it's like, it's more like a conversation starter. Like we want people to talk about it and like from that game, be able to like think about their own sexuality and like, learn a bit more. And so if it's interesting for like older men and women or like younger people, I think the aesthetic makes it like more accessible for younger people, because it's like super colorful and it's like made out of Play-Doh and yeah. So
well, it's adorable. It's the
really
most adorable. Yeah. Sure. It's the most adorable clit I've ever seen. I will say that right now. It's
like,
sweet.
Do you think people should use it as a teaching aid? Like Friday night, you're with the guy you're seeing and things have been meh. So you hang it on the couch and you pull it out and you're like, so, you know, before we do this stuff, try this.
Why not? I mean, why not? It could be. But still, I would say that like touching a real clitoris is kind of different, because usually when you play the game, you have like those cell phone reflex you got. So like you're kind of touching a lot with your thumbs and like you're holding the back of the cell phone, which isn't possible like on a human body.
No, of course not. And Maude, may I also say that my clit does not make that sound when it's satisfied.
No, it's not.
Sometimes I do.
Like,
I know. You know, I think back when I first started playing this game, and I've been playing it for a couple of weeks now and kind of having a laugh here and there. And I think it's fantastic. I couldn't help but think of my sexual history and how the evolution of, you know, the men that I have slept with, my lovers, and how in the early days, you know, they just didn't even know about the clit. It was later in my 20s that the guys I was with were even interested in sexually satisfying me, and me even thinking that I could take the time to get satisfied. So education plays a big part in this, and I'm almost shocked that it's 2019 and we're still not there.
I think it's like we're really happy it's getting launched like now, because I think there's like a momentum on being aware of the clitoris. There's like a collective, an artistic collective, and I think it's in France, and they are doing like those like posters of like a 3D version of a clitoris, and they're like, you can order them online to like be able to like put them in the streets or like everywhere. So there's like I think we're getting there.
Because pleasure shouldn't be dirty. Like, it's not.
No, like, people shouldn't be, like, disgusted about, like, women's sexual organs.
Oh, my God. It's one of the few joys we have in life, really, when you think about it.
Sexuality, what? You mean? Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of the... Not sexuality. The actual orgasm itself is one of the few joys we have in life. We should have way more of them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And, like, or at least we should have, like, the same amount as men do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty shocking. So you said early, right off the top, that guys are having 85% of men are having... No, wait, my numbers are wrong here. It's 85% of men, yes, are having orgasms the first time they have sex, compared to, like, you know, 62% of heterosexual women. And does that number change, like, as your relationship progresses? Does it change a lot?
Not too much. There are some other, like, stats about the fact that, like, during, like, a first date, I think it's, like, even worse than that. Let me look it up. It's like,
it's not good.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
That's too bad. That is too bad.
Like, there's another study that say that during a first rendezvous, like, 31% of men would have orgasm, while only 10% of women.
Oh my God.
And on the second rendezvous, it's like 17. Sorry. And the third one would be like 64 and 31.
We have a long climb.
Yeah. It was still the same, like, something about like 85 for men and 68 for women. So,
I just, Mode, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today and shedding light on the orgasm gap, which I had no idea was even a thing. And it's shocking that it is a thing. If anybody wants to play with the clit, where do they go?
We will have to go on your mobile phone on the website, which is nfb.ca/clitme in one word.
Mm-hmm. Happy rubbing.
It's really cute. There's lots of great information. And I would even say, like, as a parent, it might be something interesting to introduce to your child, because we want our kids to have healthy lives where they don't feel like they have to put somebody else before themselves all the time.
Absolutely. And I have teenage boys. So, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate. I like to think I have a pretty sex positive household. I feel like this is an important game to, I mean, they'll giggle and laugh and they'll think it's hilarious. But at the end of the day, maybe I'm giving them a leg up in life. You know what I mean?
So to speak.
Right, so to speak.
Yeah. All right, Mode. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Quick and the Dirty podcast. It was a pleasure.
Thanks to you.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.